Hey everybody, this is Doug and Brad with the Darksiders Podcast.
Hey everyone.
And because everybody else is doing it, we're doing it too. We're going to be doing our Game of the Year Awards.
Woohoo!
And to introduce our Game of the Year Awards, we didn't play all the games that are winning Game of the Year Awards.
Yeah. Yeah, this is going to be Game of the Year Awards that the two of us played, which combined is a decent number. But I feel like we should preface this with a few, like, and we'll get to a category that we have later. We have some weird categories, but, like, neither one of us played Fallout. Neither one of us played The Witcher.
I kind of played The Witcher.
Yeah, that's true. So those aren't Game of the Year. And I feel like those are the two that keep popping up the most.
And because, and actually to do our first category, because we are basically our buying habits are entirely dependent on sales, we realized that most of the games we played didn't actually come out this year. So we decided to make a category for it. And what we're gonna start with is our best game of the year, not from the year 2015.
Yeah, well, I think really quick before we do this, we should just run through our categories really quick here. So we've got best game not from 2015, best game we didn't like, which is kind of an interesting one. We'll talk about that when we get there. Mm-hmm. Best game we didn't play, again, kind of a weird one. Best character, best story, our most anticipated game for next year, our biggest disappointment for this year, my personal favorite one that we came up with, which is the best specific thing. Mm-hmm. And again, we'll give you some details when we get there. And then, of course, we'll do our game of the years individually, and we're going to attempt to agree on one, which I don't know if that'll go well.
Yeah, we actually haven't. We actually have not. We really, truly have not agreed on, like, the Darksiders.
We put a list of games and just picked out the ones from, like, the five that we liked a lot, and just of those five, well, these three matched. Let's talk about those three.
Yeah, it's like, we'll try to figure out what our game of the year is, actually, on this podcast. So our best game, not from 2015, I'm actually kind of glad this is mine, is Yakuza 4. I think we talked about it, like, on the very first podcast we ever did.
Yeah, it was in the first five episodes.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was definitely one of the first ones. And I was playing Yakuza 5 recently, just bought that one. Actually, Yakuza 5 would probably win. I don't know. I haven't finished it yet, or I haven't really started it yet too much. But I just kept, it's like every time I was thinking about the Game of the Year award stuff, this one just kept popping up in my head. I was like, because I think it was one of those few games that I didn't have, like, I had, like, no expectations going into it. It was a game I kind of wanted to play and just ended up loving. I've talked about it a lot on the podcast, like the whole transportation to Tokyo. I really like the characters. I really like Japanese crime dramas. Well, not like Asian crime dramas, and it's a great Asian crime drama on top of everything else. It's a really, really fun series. I would like other people to try it. I know, Brad, actually, you tried it and you didn't like it.
I made it 2 hours. I'm not gonna lie. I made it 2 hours, and I was like, this is not a game for me. Let's find something new.
Yeah. It's all subtitled. There's like a lot of barriers to this game. Like, it's all subtitled. It's all very, very, very Japanese. And I can see that some people just wouldn't like it. But if you haven't, like, I just feel there's a lot of people listening to this and just haven't seen it in their PS Plus list. Just download it. Play it.
Yeah. And that's what I did. I just gave it a shot. And it's not for me. I could see why. I can understand why you like it.
Mm-hmm.
But I not me. No.
And that wasn't your best game you didn't like either. It's a good game, though.
No. So mine... My best game from not 2015 is Saints Row 4, because this game is just a shit ton of fun.
And I got about 2 hours in this game and then uninstalled it.
Did you seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, no, this game, I don't particularly care for open world games, which I've talked about before, but this one made me want to do everything just because it was so entertaining to do everything. Mm-hmm. This game was fun just to go from point A to point B, and just the wackiness of it, the goofiness of it, just everything worked so well in this game's favor. And the plays on other games were great. I mean, it played like Mass Effect for a long time. I just really loved that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like game kind of gets the... I feel like a lot of people like that game, but people don't really talk about it. Or maybe we just missed the... I feel like we totally missed the boats on Saints Row when Saints Row was popular. I didn't play... I think I played a little bit of Saints Row 3.
Because I bought Saints Row 3 on sale for like $5 like 2 weeks after Saints Row 4 came out.
Yeah.
And then I got Saints Row 4 when it went on sale on PS4 mm-hmm. 2 months after it came out on PS4. So I'm so far behind like when those things actually come out. But they're so much fun and they're great games. And I think especially they get overshadowed by Grand Theft Auto so much.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people say, oh, it's just Grand Theft Auto. But I dislike Grand Theft Auto. I get bored with Grand Theft Auto, but I could sit and play Saints Row for hours.
Yeah, I think Saints Row is like a game that you just, it's basically when you just turn on, play for a bit, turn off, come back later. It's like, it's sort of like a, like, Rocket League's not the right word, but it's kind of that sort of drop in, drop out genre, just some time to dick around.
Yeah, it's just fun. It's just fun. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing serious about it. It's just pure fun, and it's awesome.
So this for this next category, the idea of this category was the thing I don't like on just the internet at large, just people in general, what a lot of people, if they don't like something, it's bad. And these are things that we completely agree are probably very, very good games. We just didn't like them at all. Not at all. Yeah. Well, there's things we liked. It's just that it's kind of like if you're a fighting game fan, maybe you don't like role-playing games or something like that. And then you can still acknowledge that these games are great games. They're just not your thing.
Yeah. Best game that we really, really appreciate and think is just a fantastic product that we just don't want to spend any time with at all.
Which is like, yeah, it's just like kind of like giving credit to those games that, you know, other people would like. And I think people should play these games. We just don't like them.
For sure. So mine was Bloodborne, which here's another excuse for Doug to talk about Bloodborne, but that game is gorgeous. The world is really cool. The monster design is awesome. I just don't like it. I have no desire to play that game, but I can sit here and I can tell you, I highly recommend that everyone gives it a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And with the understanding that if you don't like the first hour and a half of it, you're not going to like it.
Oh, that's so raw. That's gross. No, if you don't like the first 5 hours, you need to get through that hump of like actually learning the game.
Okay, I guess that's true. I'll give you like 3 or 4 hours. Like, put enough time in it to go, I am pissed off as hell right now and loving this, or I am pissed off as hell right now and need to break things.
Yeah, I feel it's like a game, like, because I know you got to the point where you understood the mechanics, you just didn't like the mechanics.
Yeah, yep.
And I think there is a point that people are just like, oh, I don't like the mechanics, we're just not going to play it at all, but I think that if you do put enough time into it, you are going to do what I did. I fell in love with the mechanics, or you're going to be like Brad, just like, you know, I understand how this game works, and, you know, I still don't like it.
Really cool game. Yeah, though. And I think it's one of those games where people, I don't feel like there's very many people who are sitting there going, Bloodborne's okay. I feel like people are like, I'd never want to touch that game, or this is one of the coolest games I've ever played. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I very rarely see people in the middle going, it's all right.
Yeah, that's true. So you're a person, you're saying like, this game is amazing. It's just, yeah.
Which, I have an odd feeling based on the way this year's went. We'll see that little dichotomy there when we get to Game of the Year. Just a feeling.
Oh yeah, no, we're gonna be fighting. I'm actually not totally thrilled to sit there and argue about which one we think should be our agreed on Game of the Year. So my best game I didn't like at all was The Witcher 3, which is a bummer because that game, just like Brad was saying, is like with Bloodborne, Witcher is really cool. I actually just want to talk about my experience like buying the game. So I bought the game, and so I got my little PS4 box that was wrapped in a sleeve. It wasn't a collector's edition, it was just a normal edition. And you take the sleeve out the box, you open the box, and there's the first thing you see when you open the box is a little note from the devs that says, thank you for buying our game. We really appreciate this. We made this game for you. We understand that the game probably cost you a lot of money, and that we appreciate that you decided to spend your money on our game. It's like, okay.
That's Game of the Year material right there. Yeah. Damn.
I was like, that's cool. But then, like, so you pull that out, and then they have, like, two stickers. You pull those away, so you got the stickers, and then you got a world map. Okay, you take that out. You get a manual that describes all of the story and lore thus far. It's not even like a manual that tells you how to play. It's just the lore. It's like a lore book.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and then you got something else. Oh, and then you also get a soundtrack CD. And that's in the normal edition of the game.
In the standard edition? That's ridiculous, because that's like, most games add $20 for all that.
Yeah, it was really cool. So I played the game, I was like, I'm going to love this game. And you know what it was? It's one of those games that's like immediately overwhelming because there's just so much to do. And really, I played about 2 hours of it. It sort of dawned on me. It's like, you know, I'm not going to have the time to play this. Yeah. Me and Brad, like,
and that's one of those things that's held me back even from buying it is I don't have time to invest like 80 hours into a game. Mm-hmm. And it's intimidating me to put something into my PlayStation and go, all right, 80 hours, let's do this. That's intimidating to me at this point in my life. This is 80 hours is like a month long process for me, if that. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. And I mean, I think we talked about this before you even bought it. Mm-hmm. Neither one of us liked The Witcher 1 and 2.
No, I don't even want to talk. I don't want to talk about regretting this purchase, please. I have bought all of The Witcher games. And I have not gotten, I literally have only gotten 2 hours into each one, and I didn't like any of them. And I just kept hearing those are awesome. And I can see why people say it. I understand it. I get it. I get it. It's just like, I didn't, and I honestly, like, the world of Witcher is like, it is a very cool dark fantasy, but it just wasn't a world that I wanted to invest a lot of time in. Because I get that it's like a dark version of Western fantasy, but I'd rather see something I've never seen before than something like a twist on something I have.
Yeah.
So I'm really bummed about that. I'll probably get around to playing it eventually in the future, maybe. So this was a fun category. Best games we didn't play, which is basically games we will probably not play for the next few years.
That we really wished we would have played.
Yeah, we really, really wish we would have played. And it's mostly just because we don't own the console that it's on. But I think both of these are actually Xbox One.
I noticed that we both picked Xbox One games.
I think both of us right now are kind of like, we have a list of games that's slowly growing to push us to buy an Xbox One. And I feel like once that list gets big enough for either of us, we're probably going to grab an Xbox One. Unless they announce NX soon, and that ends up being, like, amazing for whatever reason.
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm at with that, is about the time that I'm going to want my Xbox One, there's going to be an NX, and I'm going to go, I'm not going to want my Xbox One. Yeah. But, yeah, mine was Halo 5, which I actually just had a really depressing moment with yesterday. I was going Christmas shopping, and I went into Best Buy and bought a copy of Halo 5 for my nephew.
Oh.
And it's sitting upstairs, so I've officially still bought Halo 5. And it's just sitting there on my kitchen table, and every time I walk past, I go, oh, damn it, I really want to play that.
You can play it for like $350.
Exactly, and I don't want to play it that bad, but yeah. We've talked about before, I mean, I love Halo. Halo's my all-time favorite game, and we did that list earlier this year, and it's killing me a little bit that I haven't played Halo 5, even though I know it's not the greatest game out there. Just the fact in my mind of knowing there's a good chance, if I ever play this, it will be years from now.
Yeah, figure out a way to get that. So if we can actually talk about Halo one of these days. It's really funny. We talk a lot about Halo 5 having never played it.
Yeah.
My favorite game is Sunset Overdrive. Honestly, seems like the coolest damn game.
I just realized Sunset Overdrive didn't come out this year.
Did it not? Yeah.
No, it came out like a year and a half ago.
Oh, I don't give a shit. Whatever. It's still the game I want to play. It's really.
You didn't even follow the game of the year rules.
Oh, what? Oh, yeah. I guess that's true. No way. That much. I don't know. I'll have to Google that later.
October 28th, 2014.
Oh, crap. It's still a really cool game.
A year earlier.
It's basically the only game on Xbox One currently that, like, as I look at Xbox One, that I really, 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 more than any, like, literally more than any game on Xbox One, Sunset Overdrive just looks amazing to me. I've heard it's like, and like you were saying with Halo 5, like, I heard it's okay, but I don't care. It looks really, I don't know, it looks new.
It's something that I really want. Yeah. And which is interesting, because neither one of us, I thought about just like, oh, Fallout. I haven't played Fallout yet, and I really want to play Fallout. But it's like, that's not like the best game I didn't play, because I'm going to buy that soon.
Yeah.
So, like, when I was thinking about this, the one that was most devastating to me was Halo 5, just because I know I'm not going to play that. But because I, like, thought about, oh, well, Xenoblade just came out, and I haven't played that yet. But it's like, those are great games that I really, really want to play, but I know I'll be playing those in the next 6 months, whereas Halo 5, it's, who knows?
Yeah, that's kind of, even, like, I always had this, like, imagine, like, maybe I'll get a gaming PC one day. In Sunset Overdrive, like, they've reiterated, like, tons and tons of times, like, it's never coming to PC. It's like, ugh. Like, I won't, even if I get a gaming PC, like, I still won't be able to play. God dang it. I know I'm going to get an NX instead, too, which is really frustrating. Maybe Sunset will end up on game PC or whatever. God, now I'm actually bummed.
Yeah, that was kind of a depressing one. Let's move on to something more fun. That one was sad. We shouldn't do that one again.
Let's never do that again. That was
Here's
a mistake.
Why we're really
These
sad.
Seemed like fun categories. That was a mistake.
Oops.
So the next category, this is a more normal category, I think, but I felt it was like worth talking about because I thought there's a lot of cool new characters and new stories. Actually, they're right next to each other, too. The first thing we're talking about is our best character. Well, I wouldn't say best character, just our favorite characters.
And again, I think all that should be taken into account. But these are our favorites.
Yeah, it's true. It's kind of like, it's kind of like liking a summer blockbuster movie. Because my best character that I put down was the cast of Until Dawn. And, like, as I'm, like, saying that out loud, I was like, if they were in a movie, I would not have liked this cast at all. They're just a normal horror drama cast.
And, yeah.
and that's it. I don't know. But I just said the entire cast. I think it was the only game. Actually, it was kind of fun because I just finished playing Metal Gear Solid 5 before I started Until Dawn. And in Metal Gear Solid 5, like, I didn't realize how much I didn't care about anybody in Metal Gear Solid 5 until I started playing Until Dawn and realized, like, oh my god, like, oh, I don't want these characters. And, like, when people died in Until Dawn, I wasn't, like, there was a part of me that was like, oh, crap, I screwed up. But there's a part of me that's like, oh, no, not Chris, not Matt, not these characters.
Yeah.
And, yep. Well, like...
There's a character... Oh, yeah, there was... Yeah.
Well, like, you know, Big Boss died all the time. And I didn't give a shit. I didn't care when major characters... I don't even remember right now if major characters died in Metal Gear Solid 5. I don't think so.
I'm trying to remember, like, other than, like, Big Boss and Quiet, other characters in Metal Gear Solid 5.
Yeah, so I think that experience with Metal Gear Solid 5 actually, like, enhanced my experience with Until Dawn. I was like, oh, well, they're actually, like, you actually can care about video game characters. So that was my choice, was the entire cast of Until Dawn.
My choice was slightly more specific, because I went with Until Dawn 2, and due to spoilers and whatnot, I'm going to not point out the character, but if you've played the game, it's a character that has the pretty unique arc and ends up doing some crazy stuff.
That is such a huge spoiler.
Yeah, but I didn't say which one. There's like 8 of them to choose from.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't name names.
Oh, okay. All right. We're going to have to edit that. We're absolutely going to have to edit that.
No, we're not.
Yes, we are.
It was not that big of a spoiler, oh, I don't think.
That was a huge spoiler. That was absolutely a humongous spoiler.
No, it wasn't, because not a single name was named.
Okay, sure.
All right. But anyway, it's the character who kind of goes on that kind of stuff.
Well, since we're talking about best story, would you also like to continue talking about Until Dawn?
And just ruin that too. Well, that's your best story, so you can spoil the rest of
my best story is Until Dawn. Actually, if you just want to hear more of our talk about Until Dawn, we did like two podcasts, like an hour and a half long discussion on Until Dawn. So that was my best story. I really like that story, and it's kind of hokey and dumb, but I thought the way it was told was a lot of fun.
You're not gonna spoil anything more?
I'm not gonna spoil anything.
You're not gonna tell us that there's a
stop
evil dragon?
That would have made that game cooler.
That would have been awesome.
That would have been pretty awesome.
So my best story, I'm actually a little sad because we were going to do another episode before we got to the game of the year, and we were going to talk a lot about this game because I sat through and played through this entire all 5 episodes of Life is Strange in like 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
That game, and we'll probably talk about it on our next episode after we finish game of the year, because I want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
The story in that game is fantastic. I almost went with a couple characters from that for best characters as well. Just, it's such a great game, and the story, you get so caught up in it, and it feels weird at first just because the story is just like, oh, you're Max, who's an art student at this school, and you're just going around school. But as you go through the story and as these different things develop, she has some time travel powers that go crazy all over the place, which isn't a spoiler. It's in the first 5 minutes. Calm down. And just the way that things play out in terms of what's actually going on, because you never really get a sense of the big picture of the story until you're 2 or 3 episodes in.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that once it hits and it develops and once it moves forward, and the way that things pan out, in addition to the choice system that I actually feel like is not to Until Dawn level where it's you have full complete control over life and death, but kind of in between there and like a Telltale game where you can kind of tell exactly what things are going to happen and how your choice is kind of isolated. Mm-hmm. In between there, but the way that it all plays out and the way that it works all together is just, it's so good. And again, I don't want to spoil much about the story just because initially you don't even know what the story is until probably the second or third episode, but it's just, it's so good.
Yeah, I gotta play that. I was stuck in the being a teenage girl thing, having teenage girl problems. It's like, Brad keeps talking about how good this game is, and everybody keeps talking about how good this game is.
Yeah, the first episode's a little slow just because it is all, it's basically like teenage girl drama. Like, oh, Victoria's being a bitch, and I hate that my teacher is picking on me because I'm too nervous to show my photo for our photo contest, and...
Yeah, I was just kind of stuck in there.
Yeah, that goes away after like the first episode pretty much. Okay. And that's where like the story really picks up and it just really hits you like, okay, there's some crazy shit going down in this game.
It sounds like me trying to tell you to play Bloodborne.
Why?
Like, it's like, oh, well, once you get through the first hump of, like, you know, the first few hours, I promise you it gets great. It's like, oh, okay.
No, it's like the first hour and a half. It's not the first whole thing.
Yeah, that's true. It's not the first, like, whole game's worth of time before it gets, yeah.
Once you beat the game, you'll feel really great about it.
Yeah. Actually, totally side story. Like Mirror's Edge, I did not like my first time through, like, entirely, because, like, the first 10 hours, like, a tutorial, and the second time I went through, absolutely loved it, one of my favorite games ever.
Very different game when you know what you're doing and you understand the mechanics of that game.
Yeah, I feel like that's a lot of games like that. I feel like I can kind of appreciate it because it means their mechanics are deeper than, you know, a lot of other games.
Yeah. Yeah.
So moving on, this is kind of one of those weird ones. I always feel like this is a weird category, but there's so much crazy shit that happened this year when it came to, like, E3 and Game Awards and just everything else.
Now that you're mentioning that, like, the stuff that, like, people are pumped about, Shenmue 3, Final Fantasy 7,
we'll get to that.
Uncharted 4, like, all this stuff. Neither one of us.
No.
We picked, like, the weirdest things for this.
No, I think you have one that's, like, pretty much everybody's kind of going after. Is everybody's pretty intense.
But just in comparison to the response for Shenmue 3 and Final Fantasy 7 and those kinds of things, Street Fighter 5, you know, Mass Effect,
yeah.
Mirror's Edge.
Mm-hmm.
I went with No Man's Sky, which I don't think that's that crazy of one, because I think that's one that everybody's looking forward to. But just, and we've talked about it enough on here for me to not go on and on, but every time I see something about that game, it just makes me go, man, I want to play that right now. Mm-hmm. Man, I want to play that right now. And I almost feel like my hopes are too high for it, and it's never going to live up to what I want it to be, but
yeah,
I want it so bad.
See, and that, I mean, there's not much else to say about No Man's Sky. That's just kind of like, when it comes out, everybody's going to get it. It's going to be, see, I went with a safe. The reason I chose mine before I say what mine is because there's no way I could be disappointed in this game. I picked Trackmania PS4, and, like,
which is such a cop out answer. Nobody's that excited about
Trackmania. No, nobody. Well, I mean, there might be some people, but yeah, the thing is, like, I just,
well, apparently you are, if that's what you just picked.
That's true. I did choose my most anticipated. I guess it's
somebody might be really anticipating this, not me. But my most anticipated is
no. I mean, my most anticipated game is Trackmania PS4, which sounds weird, but the thing is, I feel like, as I get super, there's never really been any one game that's lived up to all my expectations. So when I'm, like, super excited for a game I don't know about, I'm usually end up disappointed. So I was thinking, is like, well, is my most anticipated game, like, a game I've never played, know nothing about, and could probably get disappointed by, or just one that I know I'm gonna love? It's kind of like you're gonna like Halo 5, even if it's an okay game, you know you're gonna love that game.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So that's kind of with, like, Trackmania PS4. If it's literally just Trackmania on PS4. I will love that game.
But see, I feel like it's a little cop-out, because I feel like that's me going, like, next year, my most anticipated game, Madden 17. You know what this is. There's no, like, it's not going to be that much different from what you already know. You know what I mean? I feel like that's just, like, an overly safe one. Oh, man, I can't wait for the new NHL.
Okay, all right, fine. I'll give you a real one. I would say the Res VR. Res VR is probably my most anticipated game.
So you went with, like, a remastered game?
No, I just... Well, no.
A game that is literally identical to every other game that's come before it, and this game that's more or less a remaster.
No. Well, it's not just that. Like, I'm really, really tempted.
Doug hates new things.
I'm really like new things. I'm really tempted to pick up a Morpheus, and that just idea of, like, kind of flying through space sounds really, really kind of cool. And so I'd love to see that one. That's probably my most anticipated. I'm not good at this most anticipated part. There's too many weird.
No, you're not.
I had too many, like, weird, like, mixed opinions about everything that was announced. Like The Last Guardian I've been waiting for, like, 10 years. When they finally showed it, I was like, my thing was like, oh, I can't wait to play this. God damn, when is that thing going to come out? Like, I'm not super anticipating for it anymore. I just want it to come out. So, I think I'm most anticipated needs, like, a certain level of excitement instead of just, like, annoyance that it's not out yet. So that's why I chose Trackmania PS4.
I get it. And Res.
I don't know. The more and more I read about Res HDs or the Res VR version, just sounds crazy. So, yeah.
All right. So Doug's most anticipated is Uncharted 4. Moving on. Well, we got to something that's actually new.
I don't care. I don't even want to play Uncharted 4. I don't really care that much. I'll rent that. I'll definitely rent that. I'm sure I'll. God. Just like I don't even own all the other ones. Anyway. Movie. God dang. I can see why these things are, these Game of the Year awards are really hard to do. They're really hard to do. So moving on to our biggest disappointment. I actually haven't picked a game for this yet, so I'm going to let Brad talk about his, because I might just agree with his.
Yeah, mine actually is weird, because originally when we talked about this, we talked about, well, let's just pick five Game of the Years and talk about those. We've talked about so many games already that obviously we've already talked about them on the podcast, so it felt like it'd be a bit of overkill, so we just narrowed it down to one. Mm-hmm. But my biggest disappointment was also on my top five games of the year, mm-hmm. Which is Metal Gear Solid 5. Now, the reason that's my game of the year is from a gameplay perspective, and the reason it's my biggest disappointment is for a story perspective.
Yeah.
And we talked about this originally when we did our kind of review of it. Mm-hmm. Story-wise, this game is a mess, and we already kind of hit on it. There's no memorable characters. You have no clue what's going on. You never get really a bigger sense of how this fits into the Metal Gear universe. Mm-hmm. It's a mess, and that really devastated me a bit, because that's what I was looking forward to this game for. This game could have been a 20-hour movie with like little bits of kind of crappy gameplay thrown in between, mm-hmm. and I probably would have been perfectly fine with that, because I just want to have more of the Metal Gear universe. So just having that story fall so flat and be so unfinished, it sucked. And the gameplay is tremendous, and I don't think anybody can say a negative thing about this game as a game. If you were to mute it, take out all the cutscenes, and just be like, okay, go invade that base, the way that those things play out is perfect.
Yeah.
But just the story, it's a big disappointment for me, and it really prevented me from ultimately even finishing that. I got to the end of chapter one or whatever, mm-hmm. where it splits, and then you kind of do the same thing over and over again. And I was like, I don't even care.
Yeah. I didn't even finish Act Two. I feel like this game actually wouldn't have been an amazing new IP. You know what I mean? Like this exact same gameplay. Because I feel
absolutely.
Because I feel like it was a bad Metal Gear Solid game just because the story was so bad. But the story was so bad because I feel like it was like being held back by like having to answer some questions for Metal Gear Solid. Like these, like it was trying to like tie up a bunch of weird loose ends and stuff. It just kind of felt really disjointed. So maybe if it had like a fresh story that was set in the exact same setting and maybe just swapped out the character for somebody else.
Yeah,
I feel like it could have been just a better game, but I don't think Konami would have let Kojima do that.
No, not so much at all.
No. That's probably not my, but actually, I think as we were talking, I think probably my biggest disappointment was Arkham Knight, because it is such a damn good game. It's like, as there's nothing bad. The only thing that's bad about it is that it's an Arkham game. And in that, if you've played a lot of Arkham games, it plays like a lot of the Arkham games. So it has this sort of like redundancy to it. But everything about it is just so incredible. The characters were, I didn't really like the overarching story. I thought the characters were really cool. I thought the setup was really interesting. I liked that it was sort of like Gotham during a war zone sort of deal. I just felt like I was playing more Arkham, and I got burned out with Arkham. I feel like I probably would have enjoyed this game more if I never played Arkham Origins, just because I felt like I was burned out on Arkham after playing Arkham Origins.
Yeah. Having it be the fourth game as opposed to the third game does really hinder it a lot, because now you've done it one extra time.
Yeah.
And Arkham Origins, for me at least, left a pretty bad taste in my mouth, because that game just, it doesn't live up to the other three at all. Mm-hmm. But I think if you go on a little bit more fresh, I'm sure it's not quite as bad, but I could totally see that, because there's nothing new to it. It's one of those, it is what it is.
Yeah, see, I disagree there's nothing new. There's a lot of new things about it. It's just, it's like the new things don't overshadow the, I think if you went into this game fresh, this would be one of the best games you've ever played. But just because of the legacy of being the fourth Arkham game.
Yeah, I could
game,
see that.
Because it's the fourth Arkham game, you've played three other very similar games to it. That very similar combat, very similar. Because it's like every cool thing here is overshadowed by the fact that you're still playing an Arkham game. So, which is I'm disappointed that I'm disappointed in it. So I think that's a pretty good. Because MGS5, I agree the story wasn't very good, but I thought the gameplay was just so, so damn good. That I could forget. Like, I didn't even care. Like, I didn't care because the gameplay was so good. I didn't care about the story. I actually was, like, tempted to skip through cutscenes.
Yeah, see, and that hurt me because I never skip cutscenes like in any game ever.
Yeah.
And just the thought of doing that in a Metal Gear Solid game of all games. Yeah. That's bad.
Nah, it hurts. I can understand that. Damn, that would have been a cool new IP though. Shit.
Yeah. Oh yeah. If you're just like, oh yeah, you're building a PMC in these war areas and you're going on missions and you're starting to run your PMC and you leave it at that.
Yeah.
I mean, don't even add any more story than that. Leave it at that generic story. Mm-hmm. And hell, there's some people who have killer robots. There you go. Like,
yeah.
Done. Don't have this overarching like, oh wait, is that the guy from 3?
Yeah.
And how? Ooh, is he the son or father of this guy? And, yeah. Nope.
Mm-mm. It was just bad. Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, that story was so bad. It wasn't even the story. It's just the characters. Like, the characters just didn't even... Ocelot, like, they made Ocelot boring. Like, Ocelot is in that game.
Ocelot's cool as shit in every other game. And in this game, it's just like, I will train these soldiers for you.
And torture everybody. He was just...
Welcome back to base.
Yeah, I don't know. That was really weird. Yeah. Dang. The thing is, we both like those games. They're just disappointing.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, there's no game that, like, as I was thinking about this, that stood out in my mind of going, man, that was terrible.
Yeah.
So
it was like, it was always like, that was awesome. I wish I liked that more. So
yep.
Moving into this is one category I kind of like, because I feel like there's like these little things in games that kind of stick out as, wow, that really minor thing is actually kind of cool. So we want to have a category which is like best specific thing, which is, I know, a very vague title for this, but
I feel like that's on purpose on our part, just because it wanted to be, what is some new thing, whether it's a system, a mechanic, a setting, mm-hmm. a style, whatever it is, anything that came up with. And I think we came up with some good ideas for this, but yeah.
So I guess my favorite specific thing, this isn't really a unique thing, but I just thought it was a thing that's been done before, but this was just done really well. And the best specific thing I liked was the end of the chapters of Everybody's Gone to the Rapture. So I explained this in a previous podcast, but Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, each chapter sort of follows this character. A single character as they interact with people around the town. And then at the end of the chapter, they sort of have a concluding scene about that character. That doesn't mean the character dies. It's really vastly different for each character. But there's an end of a chapter, I don't know which chapter it was, maybe chapter 3, it doesn't matter, because I'm not gonna spoil it anyway, but like, I teared up like really bad, like I was in tears, because it's actually a really, really powerful scene. I was shocked that I could be like, you know, so affected by it. And it really just came down to like the voice acting, and it's not the game, how they do visuals is not really explicit of what's going on. You see the sound of things, which is a weird way to describe it, but if you play the game, you'd understand. But just how they sort of play with the mechanic of, you can't actually see what's going on, but you can like hear with like clarity of exactly what's going on. They can do some sort of things, so they can sort of insinuate things that kind of let your imagination, they let your imagination fill in the blanks. And there is a specific part at the end of one of the chapters where like I was like literally in tears, so like I couldn't believe what was going on. And it's actually a really, really simple scene. It's like, I think it's a character just talking to themselves, and that was it. And I don't know, I just felt like that was probably the most powerful video game moment I've ever felt. Like, I just, most games don't like really bring me to tears, right? Like, people are like, oh, the end of Metal Gear Solid 3 was really sad. I was like, yeah, kind of.
Yep.
But
the end of The Walking Dead.
Yeah, but those are the. They're kind of sad, like in a superhero way, I guess. Like they're sad, and they're not like really realistic things. I guess Everybody Got the Rapture isn't really a realistic setting either. But I feel like the emotions were very real. I don't know, just those and all the end of chapter scenes. If you haven't played Everybody's Gone the Rapture, it's kind of a hard sell for a lot of people. But if just those end of the chapter scenes were so good. I also put a few other ones on here. I'm gonna go through them really quick. The arcades in the Yakuza games are awesome. When you're walking around Yakuza, you can just go to arcades and play just full arcade games. Yakuza 5 has you can play all of Virtual Fighter 2 in Yakuza 5.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. I thought the hallucination scenes in Arkham Knight were really cool. Don't want to go into that. There's fear, like a large part of the game is the fear gas, and they do some really, really, really clever stuff with the fear gas. You can listen to more on our spoiler cast for Arkham Knight. And
woohoo, promotion.
And last thing I liked was Metal Gear Solid 5. We talked about this in our review as well. That I like that every plan that you can come up with in Metal Gear Solid 5 absolutely works. It's just your job to make sure that plan works. And I just thought it was really cool that basically the gameplay lets you do 1,000 different things, and there's not many games, I don't think there's any game I've ever played that lets you have that like versatility when choosing how to
do stuff. That was actually on my list too before I narrowed it down to a couple, just because the way, like I said before, that gameplay works is so unique and it's so specific to that game. Mm-hmm. It's awesome, and just being able to look at a base and approach it from 9 different ways, and every single one of them has a chance to succeed, is something we've never seen before.
Yeah.
And in that review, we talked about how that really does feel like what a next-gen game should be, where it's complete, you have control over everything about it, and mm-hmm. that's just really cool.
Yeah.
But my best specific thing, I want to talk about Life is Strange a little bit more. So if you don't know too much about Life is Strange, it plays like a Telltale game where you have to go through and make choices. However, the main character has the ability to rewind time. Mm-hmm. So as you make a choice, what will happen, and it happens mostly in the first 2 episodes, and later it stops like prompting you for it, mm-hmm. but it will give you an option to rewind, and you can rewind it and rehave the conversation.
Yeah.
So there's one scene early on in the first episode. I'll use this example so I don't spoil anything, because it's within 10 minutes. You're talking with the principal of your school, and you can either tell him that somebody did something horrible, or you can kind of try and hide it and figure it out yourself. And what happened is the kid's like the like rich prep kid at the school who everybody's like, oh, he's the greatest kid ever. Yeah. Like, he would never do anything wrong. So the first time I did it, I clicked, okay, I'm going to tell him that he did this. Mm-hmm. And the principal's like, oh, well, we'll look into it, but I can't believe he would do this. Like, are you sure you're not just making this up? And then as soon as it's over, it says, oh, man, now I kind of painted a target on my back. Maybe I should rewind and not tell him that. And then so I rewound and I did the other one and I went, oh, it's really bad. I really hope that somebody else figures out that he did this so that he doesn't get away with it.
Yeah.
And it just gives you that option of going like, oh my God, I can pick either choice, and both choices has a good and a bad side.
Yeah, yeah.
And the ability to see both sides of that is really cool. And they do a lot of things with it later on in the game where, well, I'll talk to this person. There's one scene where you're supposed to be friends with this character, and because it's the first time you've met the character in game, like, mm-hmm. and you're new at this school too. So it's like, I'll bet you don't even know my last name. And then when she says that, it pops up 4 names.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And so you just have to like randomly guess. And the first time, I guess she's like, see, I told you, you don't know anything about me. Why would you be willing to help me? And then as soon as you finish, it's like, you can leave it there, or you can go back and rewind, and the correct name will be underlined this time. She goes, it's not that. It's
gotcha. Yeah.
So you can just do all these weird things with the choices, and the way those work and the way that rewind affects the way this game plays makes it feel much different than when you're just making choices in Telltale games, because in my mind, initially, I thought this is going to take all the stress out of it, and it's going to take all of the, like, oh, my choice has an impact. But it actually makes it feel like a bigger deal, because you can see both outcomes.
Yeah.
And you know, you really have a good idea of what you're doing, and you have a complete understanding of, if I do this, this person's going to die, or this person's going to get pissed at me, or this. And you see it specifically from both angles, which is really cool.
That is kind of neat. I'm kind of glad they play with it, too, so it's not just... Because when you had written this down, I just kind of saw on the outline, I thought it was just maybe like, oh, it's just like a do-over. I didn't realize they actually like played with the mechanic of the fact that you can change your decisions. Like, I like that more. I'm glad that they did do that. God dang it. I'll probably play that.
Yeah, you need to play this game. It's so good.
Yeah. So I was constantly getting texts from you like, oh my God, this game. I was like, okay, Jesus.
I will just throw this out here, and we'll probably talk about it later because I do want to talk about it a bit more. It is one of the most depressing games I've ever played. Like, towards the middle of the game there, it gets into some really heavy crap, like, and just as you're playing it, I'm just sitting here going, like, you can't make it, you just made it worse. You can't make this, why is it getting worse? Why does it keep getting more and more sad?
Yeah, I just kept getting, like, these constant texts from Brad, like, oh my God. I was like, okay, Jesus, what? I thought it was just, like, you're playing, like, a teenage girl. How does this game go? But maybe it's just kind of like Until Dawn, where it's just kind of, like, a game that throws a lot of surprise at you.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those things that you really don't understand what it is until you've played it. Because I had the same feeling I did with Until Dawn, where at the end I was just like, that was not what I expected. That was, why was that good? It's kind of the feeling I had when I was done with it. Mm-hmm.
The next part, we came up with this category actually just before the podcast, because when we decided the game of the year, we both have our very clear game of the years, and we'll get to that afterwards. But I think we decided, like, we sort of need to have one, like, as a podcast. Like, what is
Darksiders? I actually think now that we're talking about this, we should flip these. We should give our first game of the year and then discuss why these aren't in the discussion, because neither of our game of the years are in our discussion for game of the year that we can agree on.
That's a good point. So let's
do our game of the years first.
Yeah, I don't want to do mine because mine's boring, and I think if anybody listens to this podcast knows what it's going to be, so you go first.
Well, you just admitted it's Bloodborne, so why don't you talk to us about Bloodborne for 30 seconds so you can get it out of your system.
Bloodborne is the best game, second best game I've ever played. still not better than Kingdom Hearts 2 Final Mix. You guys need to play that game. Bloodborne just does everything right. I've always kind of wanted a game since I was like a kid that I was always jealous of JRPGs, because I felt like JRPGs had really, really cool characters and really, really cool settings, and there's no and but I didn't like playing them. I liked action games, like, you know, platformers, and I like being in direct control of my character. So I was always kind of jealous that JRPGs always got the kind of the cool characters, the cool story, the cool setting. And Bloodborne was like kind of, I don't know. It's definitely not the first game to do it, but it's definitely like the game that I think it just did everything right. The gameplay is just completely on point. It has a setting more interesting than any JRPG or any action game I've ever played. And the story, I'm kind of like, whatever. But I don't know. Just like that game just that really just struck a chord in me. And I really loved just how, I guess dangerous isn't the right word, but that game took a lot of chances, and they put a lot of money into that game that clearly a lot of people were not going to like, and clearly did a lot of very, very strange things. And I don't know, I just kind of appreciate that. But yeah, Bloodborne, goddamn Blood, that game's so good. If that I'm surprised that game's not winning more Game of the Years. Although I can see why Witcher 3 is. I feel if you throw enough people in the room.
I feel like that's the discussion, is Witcher 3 Bloodborne is basically what it's come down to for most people at this point.
I feel like more people just in general would enjoy Witcher 3 more than Bloodborne. So I don't know, does that make it doesn't make it a worse game, but should it be game of the year if less people will enjoy it?
Yeah, and I think it's that cult appeal versus more wider appeal.
Yeah.
The Witcher 3, from my understanding, is a very Elder Scrolls-esque, anybody can sit down and play this and have a good time with it. Whereas Bloodborne, if you're not going to invest your time, you're not going to like it.
Yeah, but even Witcher 3 has some hardcore elements to it. I don't know. I don't get why everybody loves Witcher 3. I don't get it, because it's, I don't know, maybe it's just people like open world games. I don't know. It's a good game. I don't know, I just thought Bloodborne is the best thing I've ever played in my life. Second best thing I've ever played in my entire life.
All right, so I had a much harder time with this. I think your game of the year was decided back in February.
Yeah, pretty much.
I sat down and I came up with a list, and there were four that stuck out to me, mm-hmm. and I really could not figure out which one of these four I wanted to go with. Mm-hmm. But I ended up going with Splatoon.
Which I don't... Yeah, you're definitely going to explain, because I saw this on our outline. I was like, Brad, what the hell is that doing there? And he's like, I can't tell you to the podcast. I was like, all right, fine.
It's so, so good. And I just...
Splatoon is better than Until Dawn. It's better than Rocket League. It's better than Life is Strange. And it's better than Metal Gear Solid 5.
Those are the five that I had written down, yes. Metal Gear Solid 5 was my... And we said we'd come up with five. I'll throw it in there, even though it kind of pissed me off a lot. So...
It's better than those?
Okay. I went with fun. So more or less what I did is I sat down and went, okay, Until Dawn and Life is Strange are both phenomenal games that I love.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as I was done with those, I was over them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to go back and play Life is Strange. A part of me wants to just go back and play the last chapter of Until Dawn just to see a couple different endings, what I can do to mess with the characters.
Yeah.
But that's really it. Those games have no lasting feeling for me.
Mm.
Now, when I sat down, and it came down to ultimately for me between Rocket League and Splatoon.
Yeah.
Splatoon, from the moment I played that beta 3 weeks before it came out, I was like hooked on that game. And I played the hour of the beta and went, oh my God, and set an alarm the next morning to wake up at Nintendo's dumbass time to play the second one. I set an alarm at like 6:30 in the morning to play this game.
Mm-hmm. Jeez.
And then played it for that hour and went, oh crap, it's 3 o'clock tomorrow. Okay, I think I'll be home 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon to play it one more time. And just played it for those 3 hours, and as soon as I was done, went, I need to go buy this, and sat there and played the multiplayer for like 10 hours straight the weekend I got it, and then went, oh crap, there's a single player, and the single player is kind of garbage, but well, I should just play it because the mechanics are fun, and played through the whole single player the next weekend, and it's just, it's so much fun, and I loved it, and I sunk so much time into it. It's so unique, it's so different, it does just, and I didn't mention this, but it was going to be my best specific thing too, and I talked about it when our review of it, is you always have something to do. There's never a second of boredom.
Yeah.
When you're playing Rocket League, you've got to drive to the ball, and then you can maybe hit the ball if you happen to be coordinated enough to do it. This, as soon as you die, boom, you can start painting again. As soon as you start turn around a corner, there's spots to paint. You can always have something to do. And yeah, it's just, it's so good. And ultimately what I did is I decided, well, I can't decide between this and Rocket League. So I played Rocket League for an hour, and then I played Splatoon for an hour.
Oh, that was smart.
And it just, like, Rocket League, I played their cool new hockey version.
Oh, that was a bad idea.
Yeah, which I think that might have also affected this. But I played that for a while, and then I played Splatoon, and I still had more fun with Splatoon.
Well, now that you said that, I'm thinking that you're kind of biased, because that did suck. I will say that Rocket League, as much as I love Rocket League, I will agree that there's sometimes it's just kind of slow.
Yep.
Damn. So many good games I want to play.
Yeah, you should play Splatoon. If you haven't played Splatoon, go play Splatoon.
So far, our game of the year is Bloodborne and Splatoon.
Which I dislike.
Which you don't like, and Splatoon, which I haven't played, and it sounds like I'm...
And don't understand why.
No, I don't. I don't get it. I know you don't play you don't play it as much as like these other games.
No, I've put more time into that than I have into the other four.
Oh, okay, really? Okay.
Well, I mean, because Until Dawn was 8 hours, Life is Strange was about 12, and I've probably put 30 or 40 hours into Splatoon.
Jeez. Okay, I didn't realize that. All right.
I think I maxed out the level cap in the first one.
Jeez.
Before they started updating. Yeah.
That sounds like a lot. I don't know what that means.
I don't remember what it was. Maybe I got close. I don't even remember. I got to like a... Yeah.
So since I never played Splatoon and Brad hates Bloodborne, we need to come up with we need to agree on an actual Game of the Year award. And so currently we have three on our list here that we're probably going to discuss. Although I think one's just kind of sticking out to me. So there's Rocket League, game we both really enjoyed. We talked about our podcast. We brought our friend Brian on to talk about Rocket League. Ton of fun. I still play the game pretty regularly. It's that game that like, it's just that I have no action-y games. Not like I don't have any drop-in drop-out games for PS4, and that's my drop-in drop-out game. So I've been playing a lot of that.
Yeah.
Next one is Metal Gear Solid 5. We've talked about it a lot on the podcast. Great gameplay. Not gonna argue that.
Yep, we've talked about it a lot today.
Yeah, lots about today. And then Until Dawn. And I want to say Until Dawn. Like I'm not even like looking at Rocket League and Metal Gear Solid 5. I think I want to say Until. I'm gonna fight for Until Dawn. So I don't care what you're gonna say. Whatever you're gonna say next, I'm fighting for Until Dawn.
I like how you just said this was what we could agree on, and said I don't care what you have to no. say.
But I don't, unless you can tell, unless, oh yeah, I guess this should be a joint discussion, but it's not.
Yeah, instead of you just saying,
this is our game of the year, there's no discussion. No, well, we can discuss it. Dude, okay, here, sorry. You go first, then.
So, I think for sure, Metal Gear Solid 5, I think we kind of threw in there just because we both really enjoyed it. It had a lot of positives in its mind, but like I said, that one was kind of my tack on one. Both of these showed up. If we were to name our top three games of the year, I think yours would be probably Bloodborne, Until Dawn, Rocket League. Mine would be Splatoon, Until Dawn, Rocket League. Yeah. So,
although you know what's weird, I would still say Metal Gear Solid 5 is a better. It's a better game. This is weird. This is hard.
But see, like neither one of us even considered Metal Gear Solid 5 for our top game of the year, and we both considered the other.
Yeah, if I ever put a top 100, like we put a top 100 list together, Until Dawn would probably be lower than Metal Gear Solid 5, and I still want to put Until Dawn as our game of the year. Like, I know, it's just, Until Dawn, oh, man, this is weird. Because I really do think Metal Gear Solid 5 is going to be, like, a lasting game, like, for sure. Like, that game, I know I could go back to, and from years from now, and say, wow, that game is still really damn good. Well, I feel like Until Dawn is a really good one-time experience.
Yeah, and that was kind of what I said when I was deciding it. Mm-hmm. That Until Dawn is a great 8 hours, but compare that with Rocket League, where I can, like you said, just drop in, drop out whenever I want, and I could play that over and over again. Yeah.
I've actually maxed...
So Metal Gear Solid 5's out.
Yeah, I've actually got all the items for Rocket League. Like, I have all of them, like, over... Like, all the new items, like, every time a new update comes out, I play until I get all the items. Damn.
Damn.
So what's your what's yours? I don't know. You go first.
My gut says Rocket League just because I think the amount of time I put in that, and like you said, I can still just pull that up and go, yep, I'm going to have some fun with this, and I'm going to enjoy it, and I put way more time into that, and I just think it's really good. But Until Dawn has that unique factor of Until Dawn is something we've never seen before.
I feel like when I played Rocket League, I wasn't – I think until – I want to say Until Dawn left a more – I've played way more Rocket League, but when I – when I started Rocket League, like I got into the beta and I was playing, I was like, wow, I really, really like this game. I wasn't shocked that I liked that game though. I was like, wow, this is just a really good game. Until Dawn was a game I had zero expectations for. And it was kind of a genre that I don't play a lot. Like I played like a little bit of Heavy. I think I actually played a few hours of Heavy Rain. I didn't even remember playing it. I liked Indigo Prophecy. I have a LA Noire sitting there waiting to get played. But that game was just so mind-blowingly fun and good, and I just wasn't expecting it. Like, I rented it the first time. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to like this game. I might like it. And then after playing, I was like, I need to buy this game. Like, this is probably one of the only games I've ever bought where I bought it to support the developer and say, you know what? You guys did a good job. You guys need more. You guys should get more sales. Because this game is, like, this more than any game probably on our list, it felt like a real passion project that I think a lot of people felt like probably wasn't going to be that good. I felt like Rocket League was like cars and soccer is going to be fun, and they made it awesome. And I'm not saying it's not awesome, but I don't. I think Until Dawn, just because I thought it was not going to be as good as it was, and it.
But this is game of the year, not most surprising game. If it's most surprising game, then yeah, I'll give you that. But I'm looking at Rocket League, and we played a ton of Rocket League together when it first came out. Yeah. Like, and I just remember both of us sitting there going like, oh, damn, did I just do this? Oh, shit, now I can do this. Oh, crap. Like, how did you score that goal from half court? And it just, there were so many moments in that where I'm just like, oh, man, this is crazy. This is crazy. This is crazy. And it was so much fun. And the two of us played it, and our friend Brian, who we had on for our review of it, we probably sat down and just together, the three of us probably played for hours and went, hey, 8 o'clock tonight, Rocket League, go. Let's do this. I mean, there is not a game that has come along that I've done that with since early Halo games.
But when you turned it off, did you think about it? Did you want to talk about Rocket League when you were done playing it with it? Did you want to?
But Rocket League's not a game that you want to sit down and talk about. It's simple, like you said. Just because I don't want to sit here and talk about it doesn't necessarily mean it's not the best game. You know what I mean? And just because Until Dawn had like crazy over the top moments of like, oh damn, I can't believe that happened, doesn't mean that it's a better game.
I don't know, because, like, what do I think a better game is? Like, the better game to me is a game that had, like, a lasting impression. Like, there's a ton of these games, like, I'll call them, like, cotton candy games almost. Like, Rocket League, Team Fortress 2, Trackmania. I really love Trackmania. But they're games, like, I sort of, like, play and I consume, like, kind of like eating, like, a bag of Doritos. Like, I don't think about them. Like, I put 200 hours into Trackmania. I don't know, like, how many hours I put into Rocket League. But those games don't leave as lasting impression on me as something like Until Dawn or something with a good story.
But clearly they do, because you just said Trackmania was your most anticipated game of next year.
Damn it, Brad.
So if this cotton candy game, as you put it, isn't the best, then why are you not excited for Until Dawn 2? Like, would you be that excited for Until Dawn 2?
No, I'm more excited for the game I have no expectations for. I'm excited for the game I don't know is going to... Like, the game I think is going to be my game of the year next year is the game I don't think is... I right now don't think is going to be that great. I think the game that comes out and defies everybody's expectations and does the one thing it said it was going to do very, very well and better than any other game in its genre should win.
So let's say Uncharted 4 is the perfect game ever. It's the best game, story's flawless, action's flawless, 10 out of 10's everywhere, and No Man's Sky comes out, 7 out of 10, it's cool to explore. That's your game of the year?
Would it be your game of the year?
Well, that
no, on, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I would, to me, like, just how I think about games, like, I'd rather have the slightly flawed game that made me rethink about games win game of the year than the game that is a very good game that I expected to be a good game, and it was, and it has very good game mechanics.
But again, you're missing the point. Game of the year is the best game, not the most surprising, not the one that did its thing best. Overall thing, what was the best? And
Until Dawn. This was a bad idea. We should have talked about this before you got on the podcast.
No.
I mean, I don't want you to like, but this is a thing too. It's like, look at what our game of the year are. I think as we started like getting into our podcast more, we sort of realized that we actually do have like kind of big differences when it comes to how we play games. Like Splatoon is your game of the year. I can see why if Splatoon is your game of the year, I can understand why Rocket League would be your game of the year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there's like super solid mechanics. But to me, like super solid mechanics, I think is a good place to start. But like, I don't like Bloodborne because it has great combat. I like Bloodborne because of a lot of things. And there's
but again, you're sitting here going like, oh well, I didn't have this shocking moment I could talk about with Rocket League. You're not supposed to.
Well,
oh man, did you know that time where my car exploded? That was coming up crazy. I can't believe that character's dead. Like, no, it was just fun. And I think this is where you get into like the fun versus really, really good story critical nonsense. Like Life is Strange is one of my top five games of this year. Completely different. And I like it for completely different reasons. It's not my game of the year because, yeah, there were moments in that, like you said, where I'm like, oh my God, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen in a video game. Like, why is this happening right now?
Yeah.
But in the grand scheme of things, if somebody were to say right now, which game would you rather play? Which game would you suggest to somebody? It would be Rocket League. Because every single person on Earth, I feel like, could sit down, play Rocket League for an hour, and have a good time.
See, that's so funny. Okay, because would a Life is Strange ever beat a Rocket League? Would the best version of Life is Strange beat the best version of Rocket League to you?
Probably, yes. There's a chance. I don't know. I would that's such an like hypothetical question because right now I would say, okay, so to put this in perspective, in my mind, Heavy Rain beats Rocket League.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
So what?
Because I love Heavy Rain. And Heavy Rain, when I was done, I went back and I played through it two or three more times.
Oh, okay.
And even in my mind, Walking Dead Season 1, or not Walking like that, or even The Wolf Among Us, is close to a Rocket League. Because those ones I went through and I played it and was like, that was something completely different. I'd never played a game where like choices seemed to matter in that way, and the story was just so tight and so well done that I could say that that is as good as Rocket League. Until Dawn, yes, those elements are there, but there's moments where I'm like, okay, that was kind of drawn out. There's moments where I'm going like, yeah, okay, that could have happened differently, or okay, did I really need to take the 16 mile hike to the second cabin?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's things like that where there were moments in that game where I got disengaged. A game like Heavy Rain, which seems weird because it's basically the same game. I didn't have that. And Heavy Rain, I instantly wanted to go back to. Until Dawn was like, man, that was cool. That's something everybody should do once.
So, okay.
Rocket League is something everybody could do, and I would say just do over and over again.
I guess I could see that because I don't have as much experience with Heavy Rain and those other games like you've had. So this is me arguing for Heavy Rain because it's like the first kind of game I've played like this extensively.
That's true. Have you played Heavy Rain?
I played a little bit of it, but I kind of lost interest because I thought the setting wasn't nearly as interesting. I thought it was like,
okay, and you didn't play Beyond?
No, I didn't play.
And did you wait? Telltale wise, you played Wolf Among Us.
I played Wolf Among Us. And I played Walking Dead Season 1. I like Wolf Among Us a lot. Okay. I love Wolf Among Us.
Okay, so I guess I don't know because in my mind, again, there are games that play like this that would beat it, but Rocket League to me is one of those defining multiplayer experiences, kind of like Splatoon, where it's like, this is a game that is for everyone, that is just fun, that I think everyone could play for years and years and years. Rocket League, I feel like, is one of those games that 10 years from now, people are going to go back to and go, oh man, remember like NHL Hits 2002?
Yeah.
I go back to and play that game because it's fun as shit.
Yeah.
That's Rocket League. I don't go back and play, you know, whatever the 2002 equivalent of Until Dawn is.
Damn, that was a good point. Indigo Prophecy is pretty good, though. I can understand that. I know this game will probably get... I feel like Until Dawn will definitely get lost in the pages of history because there's going to be better games than this than Until Dawn. That are going to do Until Dawn better than Until Dawn did. Damn it, I liked Until Dawn.
Me too, I loved Until Dawn. It's fantastic.
See, I don't want to concede, though. I really liked Until Dawn. I liked Until Dawn more than I liked Rocket League. Can we just put both up? Can we just put all four games up as our game of the year?
Brad's game of the year, Doug's game of the year, our game of the year that we couldn't decide.
Yeah, I really thought we could agree on this because I really thought you were going to go with Until Dawn, but shit, your arguments for Rocket League are pretty damn good. But
hell yeah,
it's so true. I don't know. I don't disagree with anything you said. I just what I think right now. What is the I've played put like 100 hours in Rocket League, and I still think Until Dawn was a better game.
Yeah. Really?
I think it was more unique. I thought it was more interesting. I thought it was had a more lasting effect. So I don't think we're gonna agree on this one. I really don't. Is that okay? Can we do that? Can we like not agree?
We can do whatever the hell we want.
So we have four game of the year. God damn it.
Well, no, we have two for the podcast and one individual.
Yeah, okay. So four.
Yeah.
I would put Rocket League and Until Dawn on the same level. Equal. And, I'll put them on equal. Let's just say I'll concede to equal. I won't concede to one's better than the other.
I can concede to that as well, because I feel like I'm sitting here arguing for Rocket League. Until Dawn is easily one of my favorite games.
Yeah.
Like, I loved that game. It did have a lasting effect, but just in my mind, Rocket League is a half step up.
Yeah.
Not even like that full step, just like gun to my head, I go Rocket League.
That's so funny, because I know I've played way more Rocket League than you have.
Yeah, I do too.
All right. And then I just put a notch above that. I put Bloodborne. I'm sure a notch above that you put Splatoon.
Yeah, these were the three that I will tell you that it came down to where I just sat there going, like, dear God, how do I decide between Rocket League, Until Dawn, and Splatoon? Like, how do I do
this? I think that's okay. Can we just do, like, because I would say Bloodborne, Rocket League, and Until Dawn. Like, that would be my top three.
Yeah. We'll go.
Yeah, well, who cares, like, what's the game of the year? Because we're both going to say Bloodborne or Splatoon. Like, those were our favorite games. But everybody should play these games regardless.
Absolutely. Do that. All four.
I feel like it was like the end of a Sesame Street where you like end an argument by agreeing to disagree.
And we're all friends.
We're all friends. I don't know how we're going to announce this on Twitter or anything like that. That's going to be a pitch.
I like how that's your big concern with this is how do we say this on Twitter. Our game of the year is these four
games. Without sounding wishy-washy, which is... I don't think we are wishy-washy. I just think these are all games that are just one slightly better than the other. And everybody should play
these. What would really help is if we had a third person to break the tiebreaker here. I think that's the big issue is why we...
I'm not having Brian break any tiebreaker between us. Brian will go in your... And whatever favor would annoy me the most because he thinks it's funny.
Yeah, he probably would, yep.
And he'd say Rocket League. I know he'd say Rocket League. Yeah. Because he hasn't played Until Dawn. No, that sucks. No.
Anyway,
so that was our... Oh. I don't know if we'll be doing a game of the year. We'll probably do a game of the year again. Sure, why not? We'll have four game of the years next year. God, there's going to be... You thought this was bad. Like, these were just games like we didn't expect to be good. Like,
Yeah, and that's the weird thing is looking at this list, of these four games that I had in my game of the year thoughts, none of these even came close to registering on a thought of a game that would be my favorite game this year. Whereas next year, I already have three or four in mind. And I'm like, that game's going to be crazy.
Yeah, like Metal Gear Solid. Like we both are kind of a little disappointed in Metal Gear Solid 5. We were both a little disappointed in Arkham Knight. And those are like the only games I was looking forward to. And turned out it was like a free PS Plus game, a Heavy Rain ripoff, and a Souls game. And Nintendo just being Nintendo.
Nintendo decide and let's paint and get some squids.
Nintendo actually having like a really successful new IP. That's good enough. That's good enough for me. All right, so that was that was our game of the year. That was this. If you want to follow us on Twitter, we are at darksliders_pod. You can subscribe to us on just about everything under the sun. We're on iTunes. We're on, what are we on, Brad?
Other things.
We're on other things. If you're listening to us, you've probably, this is so weird. If you're listening to us, just subscribe to us on whatever you're listening on to.
I don't know why you're getting so into detail.
Well, whatever. Share. There we go. That's a good thing to do. Share with your friends because all we can talk to is like talk to people on Twitter and try to post on random sites annoyingly. But if you like what our podcasts are, just go out and tell people, tweet about it or something.
That would
like
be
that.
Cool. Or comment. There's several of you who've commented stuff, which is really cool, and we really appreciate it. So thank
you. We've read all 10 comments we've gotten. We really appreciate them.
Yeah.
And sometimes the ones that are just like honest, I always like the most. Like, you guys, your audio quality kind of sucks sometimes. Like, yeah, I know.
Yep, we're terrible.
So that's the Darksiders podcast. See you next. Well, I don't know. Are we doing one next week? Maybe next year.
Aw.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll figure out when we're doing our next one.
See you eventually. See ya.